Governor. Governor DeSoto, look, coming towards us.
A giant. See how small the Indians appear beside him.
He must be the chief of these people.
Ortiz?
Yes, yes, Governor.
That giant of a man. Ask the natives who he is.
He is the chief. See how they march cowed before him.
Do you speak the language of these people?
But I'm not sure, Governor. I will try to see if I can make them understand.
Never have I seen a man of such size. He must be at least 7.5 feet tall.
He is looking towards us as if we were diseased. That contemptuous look on his face irks
Quiet.
Me.
We've had enough trouble with natives already. Let us try to make our meeting with this man a peaceful one.
Governor!
Yes.
Governor!
I've talked to the natives. The chief's name is Tuscaloosa.
Well, does he not wish to talk to me?
He says that if you wish to talk to him, you will get off your horse and come to him.
Indeed. Come then. I have some business to talk over with this man.
The giant chief Tuscaloosa receives DeSoto only with disdain. Seeking to gain his friendship, DeSoto flatters and attempts to amuse his unwilling host. But Tuscaloosa only stares disinterestedly. Finally, his patience exhausted, DeSoto seizes Tuscaloosa and holds him prisoner. The giant Indian was incensed, but the Spaniards looked too formidable to attempt escape. So the chief decided upon another course of action. In a few days...
Tuscaloosa has decided to meet your demands, Governor.
I thought he would. Well, where are the carriers?
There is a condition.
A condition?
Yes. He will give you 400 carriers here and the rest at Mabilla.
Mabilla?
It's one of his towns down the river.
And there he will give us more carriers?
Yes, Governor.
I see no harm in it. We will go.
Six days later, the river is crossed and soon the palisaded town of Mapia comes in sight. The Spanish enter the walls. Chief Tuscaloosa striding ahead of them.
Governor! Governor!
What is it, Ortiz?
Tuscaloosa! He tells me he must speak to the other chiefs before he will give us the carriers.
He is going into that hut over there.
I knew it! A trick! If we let him go in there, we'll never get our carriers. I'm going to stop him.
Come back here.
I'm going to stop him. You, Tuscaloosa.
What, Chesna? There's no interference.
Stop, do you hear me? Stop.
Come back here. Stop.
You will not listen, eh? This will make you listen.
He has cut off one of the Indians' arms.
Governor, Governor, they're attacking. The Indians are coming from everywhere. Run,
shoot
run for your life.
Men. Shoot as you run. Don't let them take you.
For hours, the battle raged, DeSoto and his men retreating until they were able to rally their forces in the open field outside the town. Then, surrounding the wall, the Spanish made charge after charge, the Indians wilting under the withering attack. Soon the walls were reached by DeSoto and his men. Firebrands were thrown within the walls, and soon the huts were a blazing mass of scorching heat. Sweeping through the town, the screams of the dying filled the air. Not one Indian escaped from the flaming pyre that had been the town of Mabilla. Spain had won another victory. But 20 men had been killed and 148 wounded. The men were in rags. The pearls had been lost. The blow was a crushing one to DeSoto and his men. Nothing could cheer the men, and it was only with the greatest effort that he was able to start the march again. But discouragement has fixed itself deep in the hearts of the men. 2 years have passed, and still El Dorado has not been found. Only a small part of the force remains alive. Indians, disease, and hardships have taken their toll. Then, in the summer of 1541, DeSoto and his men gaze upon a sight never before seen by the eyes of any white man.
This river, I have never seen anything like it. Like a huge, muddy arm.
See how the current tosses those huge trees around, as though they were chips.
And how are we going to cross it?
Cross it? Are we going on? Who knows how wide this river might be?
We have not yet found El Dorado, have we?
I am beginning to think there is no El Dorado.